A63, number 25B.
Yes, we are at the point where I was asking, why is the idea of resurrection an idea of soul? What does resurrection mean? What?
It's just bringing the body back, I understand.
Resurrection is bringing the body back to life. Oh, yeah, yeah. Has that to do with soul? What is resurrection? Yeah. It's a soul sense, yeah. But I ask, why does it symbolize soul? I mean, there must be, in the term of resurrection, or in the idea of resurrection, there must be ideas that represent soul, or we can't say that resurrection has to do with soul. Do you go down when you resurrect yourself? You go up. Resurrection means to go up, to be above.
And you awaken consciousness to a clearer view of what the divine mind manifests.
Yeah.
The idea comes clearer. It is a resurrection from the mortal concept.
So it has to do with mind, huh?
No.
If it is a resurrection from the mortal consciousness.
No, but it takes place in consciousness. Unless you put it as embodiment.
I think we are talking about something that you haven't understood as what the ideas of each synonymous term are intrinsically, huh? The intra-relationship of ideas. I think that has not been understood, huh? Or we would answer this question through ideas of soul, which are actually in it. Huh? You resurrect yourself. What that means, you do not go down, you go above. Huh? You rise above. Huh? Well, rising above is always an idea of soul. You resurrect yourself to bring back your identity. Identity has to do with soul. You must answer with ideas of soul, not with some big metaphysical statement. Huh? Every idea of a synonymous term has within itself the intra-relationship with the other ideas, and therefore we can always judge what the term means in terms of synonymous term by seeing what they have within themselves. Huh? Yes? So, raising up, I will raise it up, and things like that. Huh? They all have to do with that sense of soul which always says, I'm superior, rise superior. Hmm? Isn't that soul sense, superiority? Hmm? Yeah? Doesn't matter what it is, if it's mind that is superior, or spirit that is superior, or soul, or principle, or life, or truth, or love is superior, it's a superiority. And to rise above the situation. Hmm? Don't you remember that what we had last year, when we did take the science chapter on science of being and the subtones, every time we came to the subtone of soul, you said, now you put that which is real above that which is unreal, and so you have to rise above the situation. That's resurrection. That's resurrecting ourselves out of a limited sense. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, where are we? Huh? We have to go back somewhere to 11, yeah. Well, we said most had principles starting with 5, as far as I see. Is this really principle? Why is it principle? Isn't it something else? And it's one of the most difficult passages because it's all talking about divine love. See? Yeah. All right. Yeah, Emma?
It seems to me that there is a possibility that it's principle because there's one person sounding true. And there's not, it's, well, I'm thinking about in terms of what you were speaking about principle the other day, with the individuality of principle. when it says divine love always has met and always will meet every human need, in this particular context, it's talking about the sense of principle handling everything, with principle being one and taking care of all things.
Yes, yes, you could say that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you hear what Emma wants to say? No? Mm-hmm. I understood you more or less, yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's read it again from 5. Is it not the species of infidelity? What is infidelity? Unfaithful. Yes. What is that tone? Principle? Okay. So you would have not being obedient or not being faithful to? All right. To believe that so great a work as the Messiah was done for himself or for God, who needed no help from Jesus' example to preserve the eternal harmony. What is the subject? Yes. Is it demonstration or what? Yeah. Demonstration of... Take a pound? Yeah.
A bit later.
A bit later. All right. And here you have what? Does she say that he demonstrated harmony? No. What does she say?
Preserve.
Huh? What is preserve? Soul. Huh? Why is it soul? I'm awful, I know. Why is it soul?
Intact.
Immute. Huh? Yes. Huh? Keep intact. Yes. So you, can you see, you must always see that you can explain a term that is perhaps that you may not quite know if it's an idea or not, like preserve. You just can think, what does it mean within itself? And if it blends with ideas that you know are belonging, say, here to soul, you know that it is soul. Huh? So preserve, it cannot preserve. To preserve means naturally to preserve in the state as it is. Huh? Actually, you can also have that life preserves, but then it is something else, namely to give preservation. Then it's something else. But here it is actually to keep it intact, to keep it as it is. And that has definitely the tone of soul. But mortals did need this help, and Jesus pointed the way for them. So, again, we must always go back to the question, will you explain sickness and how it is to be healed? And here she would say, you see, soul always preserves. Health is always at the point of preservation. You cannot touch it. And Jesus showed that you cannot touch health, that you have never really been sick. You preserve it. Then we come to divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. This is a statement about love that is quoted over and over as divine love. Has it here the tone of love, or has it here another tone? See, now we come for a very good example of what we have said, that one statement taken out of context can mean something very definite. If we take that statement and put it into another context, it can mean something else. Didn't we have that? See, and only when we understand that, we can understand really structure. Huh? Else we can't understand structure. That's the difference between a truth and a scientific truth. A truth is whatever is true, but that may not be the truth in a certain situation. If you have 2 and 2 are 4, It's a truth. Nobody can deny it. But when you have a situation where you have to calculate what is 3 plus 2, then 2 and 2 equal 4 is no truth in that problem, because it does not apply to that problem. Therefore, it's not a scientific truth. See, it's only scientific when it fits into the problem stated. Oh, you look at me with big, big eyes. Huh? See, that's the point. We have to see that, or else we get into the habit of just using terms instead of asking what is the problem. And when we know what is the problem, then we can put in the statements and so that they mean something. Now, here, if you have had all that you said, well, Jesus was here to destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, so that the identity is kept intact and so on, and you see that Jesus demonstrated to preserve the eternal harmony, you certainly have a sense that she's talking here around how everything can be kept intact and preserved. And when divine love meets every human need, it just means what? Does it mean that it needs love to meet the human need? Beg your pardon? It's the safety of soul, yes. Yes. Yes, I know what you mean, yes. You will mean no situation no situation is in danger, that every situation will be met, that every situation will be preserved intact, and that what does it will be love. But the point is that there is no situation which will not be kept intact, that will not find its answer, that will not find its resurrection, that will not find its preservation. So that you really can say you can get into any old situation, no matter how it looks, there is a possibility that that situation is resurrected to the point where it remains what it really is. And this comes out here. All through that you had that sense of keeping being intact, that Jesus could do that by resurrecting, then by proving that nothing could touch it, by preserving what is, and that there is no problem that cannot be met. Everyone finds its safety. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind, in every hour, divine love supplies all good. This is another explanation of that sentence above, just enlarging it and says this applies to all time, to all situation, at every point. Can you see? Always saying, so to say, for love, there is no impossibility to keep everything intact, to preserve everything. No situation is in danger. No situation is unsolved. Yes? Then we come, the miracle of grace is no miracle to love. Somehow you come to the question, is this a miracle or not? And you come to the tone of principle right away. Because it will show, no, the healings were not miracles. They were manifestation and demonstration of a principle. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. You see, she still uses love because of the universality of it. But is it a miracle or is it a principle? That's the point. Is a principle at work Is love a principle or is love a miracle? Jesus demonstrated principle, the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. Do you have a sense that he demonstrated on the basis of science, on the basis of a principle? Therefore, it has nothing to do with a miracle. It is a scientific demonstration. Reason, rightly directed. Apparently, one can misdirect reason. Like in the dialectics, you can misdirect reason. So reason, rightly directed, serves to correct the errors of corporeal sense. You have again principle that demonstrates itself by correcting something and not through a miracle. See? God doesn't work through miracles. It works through a principle, it works through a science, and that science demands correction and not just something flimsy and mysterious. It's very, very direct here. But since sickness and death will seem real, even as the experience of the sleeping dream seems real, until what? The science of man's eternal harmony breaks their illusion with the unbroken reality of what? Of scientific being. So you have a very strong sense here that the healing has to be done not on the basis of miracles and marvels and exceptional disposal of grace, but that it is based on a scientific sense of being, on a principle of being, on a science, and the science demands correction, and that's how sickness is healed, through correction and not through a marvel. Isn't that clear? So I think most of you had actually principle to 24 to hear. It's only that, the question was only where is the break from soul to principle. And I think there we perhaps we were diverging a little bit. Yes. And from then on, practically everybody had the same layout. No, not quite. I think life is that short paragraph. Which of these two theories concerning men are you ready to accept? What are you going to accept? What are you going to follow? Now it's up to you which method you are going to accept. One is the mortal testimony, changing, dying, unreal. The other is the eternal and real evidence, bearing truth, signet, its lap piled high with immortal fruit. I think shows very easily the tone of life, the fullness of life, saying if you accept the right method, you have a fullness of life. If you don't accept the right method, then you certainly will have a changing, dying universe. Then most add from here the tone of truth until the next page on 13. I think this is also right. She changes the subject and says, our master cast out devils, evils. Can you see, now it comes to casting out. This is always different than principle. In principle, she usually only says that we can demonstrate the principle. In truth, you cast out error. In principle, you don't cast out error. You apply the principle, you demonstrate the principle. Now, in truth, our master cast out devils' evils and healed the sick. It should be said of his followers also that they cast fear and all evil out of themselves and others and heal the sick. very interesting that she says that, to cast out evil out of themselves and then others, to heal the sick. Like what we'll see next week when we take the 12th chapter that Mrs. Eddy starts and shows that practice consists first that the practitioner heals himself first of evil before he starts trying to heal the patient of evil. So that she would say healing oneself is the first step, and the easiest step and the more difficult step is to heal the other. It is an old belief and a wrong belief to think that it is easier to heal somebody else than oneself. That's not true. It's much easier to heal oneself because it is so much easier really to see the dignity of man for oneself and to see man as idea for oneself than for the other who may not really accept that, who may not be willing to accept that his idea, that he wants to be a mortal and a very good, healthy mortal. And therefore, there is something much more beautiful in it to heal oneself, because then one has to find one's own pardon. One has to find one's own alignment with the reality of being. Well, that really doesn't belong here, but you hear here now the tone of truth. Show me how it will be healed. You heal yourself and others. God will heal the sick through man. Can you hear the tone of truth? Whenever man is governed by God, so he will hear through man. Truth casts out error now as surely as it did 19th century ago. Can you have truth cast out error? All of truth is not understood. We know that. All of truth is not understood. Hence, its healing power is not fully demonstrated. So the very fact that sometimes we cannot demonstrate what we would like to demonstrate does not mean that truth does not heal. It means that we haven't understood the truth. That's always good to remember. Or else be accused and say, well, Christian Science doesn't work, and Christian Science may not be the answer to it, may not, after all, not be the Savior. It's much more honest to say, I guess I haven't understood Christian Science. If sickness is true, or the idea of truth, you cannot destroy sickness. This is usually the question she always asks when she comes to truth and says, well, if error is not error, then you can't do anything. If you think that error is true, then you can't do anything to error, because truth cannot destroy truth. So if sickness is true, or the idea of truth, you cannot destroy sickness. And it would be absurd to try. Then classify sickness and error, as our master did, when he spoke of the sick whom Satan has bound, and find a sovereign antidote for error. So casting out truth, she says, is finding a sovereign antidote for error in the life-giving power of truth acting on human belief. Comes right back to mindset. You know, sickness is a belief, and now if you know the truth, then you can act on human belief. A power which opens the prison doors to such as are bound and sets the captive free physically and morally. You have a great sense of truth. Then, the last is a tone of love. What is said here? When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, well, love never tempts, and leads us not into temptation. Cling steadfastly to God and his ideas. Isn't it interesting? We have seen that before, The moment we come to the climax of love, she always says, now, all that is God and his idea. Up to the tone of love, usually she never touches on that. That all that is to be seen is God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Can you hear the tone of love? To let nothing abide in you, nothing else. That's always the allness of love and the nothingness of evil. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious as life eternal is can destroy any painful sense of or belief in what life is not. Can you see? She no more speaks about destroying the opposite. She said, let nothing else anymore enter in it. Keep it absolutely holy. Keep it at the point of the maximum of reality, God and his idea. Let Christian Science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace, you see now it's supplanting, no more destroying. It doesn't say anymore is destroyed through truth. It's supplanted with truth. Replace mortality with immortality. It's no more destroying mortality with immortality. And silence discord with harmony. It's silence now. Love silences. Truth destroys. Love silences. And in silence you no more have to any kind of duality. So in love you always have to hear that sense of allness, whatever she talks about, if she talks about life or truth or mind or whatever, it's always that allness. Yes, Mike? Yeah. The question now, will you explain sickness and show how it is to be healed? Mind says, sickness is a belief and nothing more than a belief. That belief, a spirit, is never material and it's never a reality. Sickness is never a reality because matter has no reality. Third, you can always resurrect a state of sickness out of itself into that intactness of being where everything is preserved in its intactness through resurrection. As principle, it says, and that you do not through a miracle, but through a principle of being, through understanding the signs of being, and therefore as life, you choose that sense, and then you have immortality. If you don't use that method, you will not be able to heal the sick, because if you choose that method of life, you have the truth, and that truth destroys the belief. And therefore, keep everything at the point of God and his idea, and let never any other suggestion enter in your consciousness. Bang, bang, bang.